Fascinating guests, mind-blowing topics, and stimulating conversation. All here on your home for the best alternative talk radio. This is Beyond the Edge Radio. Nervous? Scared? Don't be afraid. The wait will be over soon. Sit down, strap in, and hold on tight. You're about to be taken beyond the edge.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Beyond the Edge Radio. We are live here on the Para-X Radio Network. It is Sunday night, April 27th, and it is 8:01 here on the East Coast. My name is Eric Altman, your producer and host of tonight's program, and we want to welcome you to Beyond the Edge Radio. With me tonight on the other line is our co-host, and he is from Phantoms and Monsters and Astral Perceptions. You know him, you love him, the one and only Lon Strickler. Good evening, Lon. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing pretty well.
Just pretty well?
Yeah, pretty well. That's I'm going to keep it there.
Okay.
I guess I'm not going to embellish it, so I'm doing pretty well.
Okay, we'll leave it at pretty well then. It's good weather, so you can't complain about that.
I had turned the air on. I mean, it's getting hot here, so.
It has been.
It's getting warm down this way, so.
Well, we'll take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, really.
For what it's worth. We're missing our color commentator tonight. He's still out at Salt Fork State Park in Cambridge, Ohio, and he's trying to get cell phone service or Wi-Fi service. And I can tell you, I was out there this weekend, and the Wi-Fi service is terrible. The cell phone service is terrible. The Fork Chop is not in the house at the moment. I'm not sure if he's going to be joining us tonight or not, but we'll keep our fingers crossed in hopes that he will be joining us, but it remains to be seen. So,
well, you know, he was busy eating in the hot tub all weekend, so I figured that's what he's doing tonight.
It probably is.
Yeah.
I saw the pictures that he was posting on Facebook of the
that was sad.
Plates of food and the beverages and the cigars and, well, you know. But we were at the annual Ohio Bigfoot Conference this weekend, Sean and myself, and our guest tonight, well, not really our guest, but she is our paranormal news correspondent, Amy Perry. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hello, everybody.
She's going to be doing our paranormal news tonight, and Amy was with Sean and I this weekend over in Cambridge, Ohio for the annual Bigfoot Conference. And Amy, you saw it. Sean was making a glutton of himself.
Yeah, he was. Does he ever not, though?
Well, no.
That guy can eat.
He can. He has fun. He was up very, very late last night, I think till about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Mm.
He was enjoying himself rubbing elbows with some of the big names.
I was like, oh, wait, what kind of show is this?
Oh, family-oriented.
Yeah.
Family-oriented. But he was rubbing elbows with some of the big names in the Bigfoot research community, like Cliff Berrickman and John Kirk and Esteban Sarmiento and Craig Woolheater, and, you know, they were all sitting in the fireplace pit having a little cavassier and some bourbon and bouncing around some crazy balls, and, you know, we won't go there.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I, on the other hand, had an early night. I turned in early and, you know.
Yeah, you're a dud.
I'm a dud. I'm a dud.
I love you, Eric.
I know.
But you're a dud.
I'm a dud. But, Amy, we did have a good time. We had a lot of people come by our table, our little corner of a table, I guess you'd call it, and said hello. And it was a lot of people there. It was a jam-packed event. We had fun, for the most part.
Yeah, no. Why'd you say it like that? Yeah, it was fun. Well, you don't like my sequin boots or how I dress for Bigfoot?
No, you looked very nice. She glammed it up. She was the only person there in attendance that looked like a rock star.
No, I did.
She had all sequins and glams and
Well, you know, I feel out of place because I have, you know, the ghost stuff. That's my thing. On my car, and I pull in, and there's nothing but, like, Sasquatch stuff as far as the eye can see. But thank God I have my tiny little Duck Dynasty sticker on my window, so it kind of sort of...
She fit in.
Lets me, you know, rub elbows. Look, I like them.
Yeah, they said, okay, well, come on in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rest of us are wearing camo and, you know, boots and mud kickers, and she's wearing, you know, sequins and flashy earrings, and come on in. It's okay. Yeah, you look Duck Dynasty.
Thanks.
But it was a good time.
I blend.
Yeah, she blended. She blended well, Lon. She blended well.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But the three of us were there.
Shut up, Lon.
the three of us were there. We had a good time, and they did a real nice job. Cliff Berrickman was there. Bob Gimlin.
You dropped that name one more time.
Sorry, yeah. Fred.
Bob Gimlin was there. Our good friend Lyle Blackburn was there. Charlie Raymond was there from the Kentucky Bigfoot Research Group. I'm trying to think who else was on hand. Tom Yameron was there. And a lot of folks that you would probably recognize from the Bigfoot community were there. There were a lot of new folks there, probably close to 1,000 in attendance. It was jam-packed from Friday night when people were trying to pick up their tickets to this morning. A lot of people at the cookout that was being held this morning until about 1 or 2 o'clock. I left around 12:30 to make the trip home for the show tonight. And it was a fun event, and they'll be holding it again next year, so we'll have to wait and see who they are going to bring in as guest speakers, but I'm sure they'll have another huge event like they did this year, and we'll see.
Yeah, it looked like a lot of people there. God, I looked at that picture, and I was saying to myself, God, I didn't think they had that many people to get in there, but the conference room is pretty good size, and, you know. But, man, they had them packed. There's no doubt about that.
The fire marshal made them take 30 chairs out of the conference room.
No kidding.
Yeah. And they actually had to come up with two additional rooms to seat people for the overflow closed-circuit TV rooms because they just had so many people.
Wow.
So we'll see what happens next year. It was a good event. Just a real quick announcement for the next upcoming event. Creature Weekend takes place May 16th through the 18th out at Salt Fork State Park in Cambridge. John Mindzinski, Bill Munns, Dr. Jeffrey Meldrum, Tim Stover, and Doug Waller are the featured speakers. They're going to host a meet and greet on that Friday the 16th with a private VIP dinner with the speakers, there'll be a special presentation by Bill Munns. And then Saturday the 17th, there'll be lectures given by the speakers. My group, the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, which you are both members of, will be presenting a special PowerPoint presentation on evidence collection and some of the things that we've collected over the past 15 years. As I said, there'll be lectures given by the guest speakers. Then there'll be a barbecue dinner on Sunday and some kind of special workshop with Dr. Meldrum on Sunday as well, like an evidence collection workshop with him. Tickets are still available for that event. If you want to find out more, you can go to creatureweekend.com. Again, the dates for that is May 16th through the 18th. Creatureweekend.com is the website. Check it out. I will be in attendance for that, and there'll be several PBS members there as well, so make sure you stop out and see us for that event and say hello. So that's all I have for that. Before we jump into tonight's news, I just want to let everybody know who's coming up on the show next week. Our good friend Christopher O'Brien will be back, and he's going to be talking about cattle mutilations. He's got a brand new book that's coming out, or is out, I should say. It's called Stalking the Herd. It's all about cattle mutilations, and he will be our guest next week on the program, Lon.
Yeah, Christopher's been, you know, he's one of these guys that researches a lot of different stuff, you know, of course, you know, with Skinwalker Ranch and a few other things. But he, you know, these San Luis Valley mutilation cases the last few years, he's definitely been looking into it. And I haven't read the book yet, but I definitely do want to read it. So, you know, we had him on last time. He was talking somewhat about it. So, I'm looking forward to talking to Christopher again.
Always a great guest. One of our higher listened to shows. A lot of requests to have Christopher back, and Stalking the Herd is the new book. He'll be back next week as a guest, returning guest on the show, so that should be a great program. Make sure you mark your calendars for that as Christopher O'Brien returns to BTE Radio. But tonight's special guest, and she's a little nervous, so we got to calm her down, take a deep breath, inhale, exhale, breathe deeply. You can do this. She's excited. Yeah. We're excited. I'm getting her nervous. I'm doing this on purpose.
I know you are.
I am. Sorry. She's excited. We're excited to have her first actual full-length broadcast with us doing paranormal news. Let's please give a very warm welcome to our very own paranormal news correspondent, Amy Perry. Yay! Welcome,
Aww,
Amy. Yay.
That's so warm.
It was. It was just me, the only one clapping, you noticed.
Yeah, my one fan.
Yeah. Well, you have three fans, actually.
Oh, all right.
Your fan club
Don't start.
It's growing. It's growing. Yeah. But right. Amy is joining us tonight. We're going to be talking about the latest in paranormal headline news from around the world, whether it be UFOs, hauntings and ghost stories, cryptid sightings, controversial stories, anything out of the strange and ordinary. You name it, Amy's going to be talking about it tonight. So we're going to get things rolling. Amy, where are you going to start us off this evening?
All right. I'm going to start you off in India, the new Lucky Restaurant. okay. Now, if you really want me to be distracted, please make that sound again.
That was my little trip to India music there.
All right. Well, let's bring it back, shall we?
Okay.
All right. This restaurant, not only do you get to order food, but you get to sit with dead people. The new Lucky Restaurant in India was built on an old Muslim cemetery, and the owner says the real coffins are key to his flourishing business. An Indian restaurant is letting customers dine with the dead after they built their business around an old graveyard. And the owners of the eatery in India say the graves are great for business. The new Lucky Restaurant features tables scattered around real graves, but despite the ghoulish interior, the restaurant has become a popular hangout. Cuddy said the graveyard brings good luck. Our business has been flourishing because of these graves, and it gives people a unique dining experience. We've maintained the graves as they were. Our customers don't seem to mind. And the only thing is, Cuddy has no idea who the graves belong to. Some locals claim they contain the remains of followers of a saint from the 16th century whose tomb lies nearby. Around a dozen graves lie inside the restaurant and have been sealed off by iron grills. Every morning, when the shutters of the restaurant are pulled up, waiters spend time wiping the gravestones and decorating them with fresh flowers. We begin our day by paying respects to the graves. We wipe them and cover them with cloth and shower them with flowers. It's important to respect the dead. Customers, on the other hand, don't seem concerned about the presence of the dead. They just relish tea and buttered rolls.
I bet there's a hell of a menu.
Well, you know how I feel about graveyards, so, you know, I think it's bad enough going in there to get EVPs, but eating with them, too, I don't know.
Waiter, my food's cold.
I don't know, it's a big tradition down in Mexico, you know, the Day of the Dead, and, you know, I guess it's done in other places as well, so, if this is nothing that's taboo, I guess it's okay.
I don't know how I could. I don't know. That's kind of strange. I mean, my singing's bad, but man, dining with the dead is maybe a little worse.
Dining with the dead, huh? Like a song.
Yeah. What is? Did they say anything about the menu? I mean, is it hot or cold food or
no,
finger
they
food?
Forgot
maybe
to they forgot to leave that important part out of the story.
Appetizers.
Frozen monkey brains.
Yeah. There you go.
No, they didn't mention it except for tea and buttered rolls, so.
That's a hell of a menu. Hmm.
Yeah, that's probably the best they can keep down.
Yeah. The food was good, but the ambiance, the service was slow.
All right. And it just keeps getting better.
And it will all night long. Try the veal. All right, where are we going next, Amy?
All right, we're going to go to one of my favorites. I have a soft spot for Nessie.
Aw.
I do. I love Nessie. All right, this comes
she
from the New York Daily News. Loch Ness Monster satellite image sighting stirs controversy again. The shape that's being seen is 100 feet long and appears to have two large flippers. So could it be? Satellite pictures have picked up something very strange in Scotland's famous Loch Ness. An image shows a large 100-foot-long shape, two large flippers, all in the waters that are home to the fabled Loch Ness Monster. Excited believers hope the high-tech image might show, once and for all, that there really is a beast lurking beneath the waters. The satellite image was taken last year and has just been published after being studied for 6 months. The shape looks suspiciously like the wake of a boat, reports Metro, but there's no boat in the image. We've shown it to boat experts, and they don't know what it is, said the president of the official Loch Ness Monster fan club. Whatever it is, under the water and heading south, so unless they have been having secret submarine trials going on in the loch, the size of the object would make it likely to be Nessie. Nessie came to the world's attention in 1930s when a picture emerged of the mysterious animal on the Scottish waters. There have been many attempts to prove that the beast exists. than it being an urban myth, but these have been long discounted. The latest images were seen by two people who noticed it on satellite pictures used by Apple from a smartphone app. So, see them smartphone apps. That's it. Loch Ness.
Yeah, as soon as I hear that, I start getting suspicious.
They found my rubber ducky.
I've looked at this thing. And it's more than 100 foot long. There's no way that's just 100 foot long. And you see how wide it is. I think it's a doctored image. It looks too much like a wake to me. Somebody doctored took the boat or whatever it was out of there. There's a lot of things that could have been done to it. I just don't buy into that being something. You know, first of all, as murky as Loch Ness is, to be able to see something in the water that big would leave some type of ripples or something on the water, or some kind of artifact on the water, I would think. So, I don't know. It just seems really suspicious.
I think it's actually a picture of Sean floating in the hot tub at Salt Fork.
That may be, too. Free Willy?
Yeah. I've seen a picture
Sean,
of it.
You guys really get on him when he's not around.
We do. He's not here to defend himself. No, but I've seen a
bullies.
Picture of it.
I work with bullies.
Yes, you do. I've seen a picture of it, and it doesn't look like what I would think Nessie would look like. Lon's right. It does look like a doctored photo to me. As we know, there are apps out there for ghost images. People put these ghostly images on their phones and, oh, look, I've got a ghost picture, but it's really not. So maybe that's what we're dealing with. I'm kind of suspicious of the apps, but it could be. I don't know, but it doesn't look like what Nessie would look like to me. It almost, as Lon says, it looks too good to be true. So who knows?
Yeah, doesn't Nessie look like a dinosaur? Oh. Nessie doesn't look like a whale.
Well, everything that's supposedly been Nessie or, is...
Don't break my heart, Lon.
Well, it's supposed to have a long neck and this and that. This thing looks like a giant catfish. If it looks like a giant catfish or...
It looks like a bad sci-fi movie.
Or a sturgeon or something, but it doesn't look like, what was that, a plesiosaur or whatever that's supposed to be? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I kind of lost interest in the story after the official Loch Ness Monster fan club had the eyewitness testimony.
Now, wait a minute. If the Loch Ness Monster can have a fan club, Amy Perry can have an official fan club.
Well, that's true, but see, this is an economic thing. So I can't blame people up there, that...
Yeah, nobody wants stuffed dolls of me.
They're making too much money on it.
Wow.
All right, so that goes in the garbage. Moving on.
All right, moving on. We got time for one more story here.
All right, now this, I'm gonna go with this one, and it might throw you a little.
Okay.
It's not goblins, ghouls, or things that are creeping in forests.
Ah.
But it's about gunshot victims to be suspended between life and death.
Ooh.
Doctors will try to save the lives of 10 patients with knife or gunshot wounds by placing them in suspended animation, buying time to fix their injuries. Neither dead or alive, knife wound or gunshot victims will be cooled down and placed in suspended animation later this month as groundbreaking emergency technique is tested out for the first time. Surgeons are now on call at UPMC Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh. So there we go. We can go check it out. To perform the operation, which will buy doctors time to fix injuries that would otherwise be lethal. We are suspending life, but we don't like to call it suspended animation because it sounds like science fiction, says Samuel Tisherman, a surgeon at the hospital. So we call it emergency preservation. The technique involves replacing all of the patient's blood with cold saline solution, which is going to cool down the body, stop all of its cellular activity. If a patient comes to us 2 hours after dying, you can't bring them back to life. But if they're dying and you suspend them, then you have a chance to bring them back after their structural problems have been fixed. Now, the technique will be tested on 10 people. The outcome compared with another 10 who met criteria but who weren't treated this way because the team wasn't on hand. The technique will be refined and tested on 10. We always, now this part, I'm like, really? One of the surgeons says this? We always assume that you can't bring back the dead, but it's a matter of when you can pickle the cells.
Hmm.
So, if you're ever stabbed or shot, do you really want to be pickled?
I like that idea. I like that idea. Hey, just pickle me. Why not?
I can imagine all the books this is going to generate from people that are technically dead and just put in suspended animation for a couple hours. You know, you're going to come up with this. You know, I was brought back, and you know, I saw the light and all this other. So, you know, I can imagine there's going to be a lot of different stories. You know, I'm not saying that I necessarily don't believe in all this, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. You know, the science behind it is it sounds good, but I don't know. We'll see. You know,
it gives new definition to the meaning. I got pickled last night.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I just don't understand the thinking of it. I mean, if okay, maybe they want to try to heal that person before they die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, I could see that thinking, but if that person's injured so badly, I mean, what's the chances of them having a normal life again?
Well, I don't know necessarily, you know, there's that, and then there's also the maybe it's just to buy more time so that they can, you know, have the chance to live.
Or maybe save the other organs?
I think it's going to be harvesting organs?
I don't know.
You know, it kind of goes back to the cryogenetic thing, you know, that they freeze the body down and then later on, or save the head and later on put it on another body or whatever. But, I mean, this is cryogenetics for the whole body, basically. So, I don't know. You know, I think it sounds feasible. It sounds interesting. If somebody has actually been saved after a couple hours using this technique, I'd definitely like to read about it. So, yeah.
All right, well, the only thing, put it on a different body. Can I pick the body?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you pick a body?
Just thaw the frozen head out and go, which one do you like? I'll take that one. That looks good.
I mean, sign me up if this is what's going to happen. But all right.
Oh, my goodness.
Moving right along.
Well, what do you say we go ahead and take our 8:30 break a few minutes early? We got some cool prizes to give away, and we'll go ahead and take care of that, get that out of the way, and we'll come back with more paranormal news. How's that sound?
Okay.
Sounds good to you guys?
Good luck to everybody.
Okay, what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to open up the cobweb-filled BTE prize closet since we haven't been in there in a while. We're going to give away some pretty cool prizes tonight. What do you got from the prize closet tonight, Lon?
Well, let's say the first one would be a BTE mug. We'll get one of those away. Then you say you have a Squatch Watch.
Yeah, really cool Squatch Watch. Let me get up and go to the closet here while I describe this really cool Squatch Watch. Hang on a second. I'll go over to the closet.
Aww.
Yeah, everything fell out.
Yeah, it did. Hang on. Let me get out of the closet over here. Okay. This is actually a really cool watch. It's the original Bigfoot watch. It's called the Sasquatch, believe it or not. It's spelled Sasquatch, the original Bigfoot watch, and it says on the bottom of the box.
Oh, it's still in cellophane.
It's still
people.
In cellophane. Here, see? The legend of Sasquatch, the Native American term for Bigfoot, has existed for centuries. Although the creature and its giant footprints have been spotted throughout the Pacific Northwest, as well as other parts of the world, including China and Nepal, its lifestyle and sheer existence remain an elusive mystery to this day. Though supposedly a large hairy beast, Sasquatch has become an endearing and lovable part of American heritage and folklore. Now you can keep the legend alive with your very own Sasquatch watch. By owning this unique watch, let me move this cellophane out of the way, you'll always be able to style as long as the legend of Sasquatch lives on and remains an integral part of Americana. So you too can own an official Sasquatch watch. It's green in color. It's actually pretty cool. Looks like a little foot with a big foot.
Yeah, I've seen them advertised. They are pretty wild.
Yeah, but what we'll do is we'll give away.
Am I allowed to call in?
Yeah, we're gonna take callers during the break, and the toll free number to call in during the break is 877 877-277-2858. Again, 877-677-2858. Or our alternate number, 724-824-1494, 724-824-1494, to win an official BTE mug. It has a BTE logo on it, and a Sasquatch official Bigfoot watch. We'll take callers 3 and 4 once we go to break. Not right now, so you got to hang up your phone and call back. Once we go to break, we'll take callers number 3 and 4. And when we come back from the break, we'll continue with more from our paranormal news correspondent, Amy Perry, as the paranormal news continues right here on BTE Radio, as we're live here on the Para-X Radio Network.
You're listening to the best alternative talk radio on the planet.
Alternative talk radio on the planet.
Beyond the Edge Radio.
Sanatorium Audio Experience. Take an 80-minute audio tour inside one of the most haunted locations in the United States. Available on iTunes and CDBaby.com. 100% of the proceeds go to StompOutCancer.com, a nonprofit charity that is working hard to help kids and young adults fight cancer. The Waverly Hills Sanatorium Audio Experience, a haunting way to help bring hope to those who need it most.
Looking for a unique special occasion or business gift? Then search no further than Strickler Celebrity Autographs and Gifts. An autograph is a unique and special gift that allows someone to own an exclusive item that is actually signed by a celebrity known to millions of people. At Strickler Celebrity Autographs and Gifts, all items we sell are either signed in our presence or obtained directly from a known and certified source and come with a certificate of authenticity. With Strickler Celebrity Autographs and Gifts, we provide over 30 years of experience and the honesty and integrity you can depend on. To find that perfect gift, go to www.StricklerAutographs.com or call 410-241-5974. Act now and free shipping is included on all domestic orders. For the honesty, integrity, and over 30 years of experience you can depend on, find your perfect gift today at Strickler Celebrity Autographs and Gifts. Go to www.StricklerAutographs.com or call 410-241-5974.
Fright Times is not for everyone. If you're not a haunted house and Halloween fan, Fright Times is not for you. If you don't want the techniques, tricks, and tips of leading designers and experts, Fright Times is not for you. And if you want to pay more than $20 a year for a great subscription, seriously, Fright Times? Otherwise, Fright Times is for you. Cover to cover, the best magazine for haunted house and Halloween fans is Fright Times. Read our back issues online for free at FrightTimes.com. Fright done right.
Over 15,000 subscribers lurk in the darkness and follow phantoms and monsters for their daily dose of paranormal news, spooky stories, and horrifying happenings. Whether it's ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, aliens, creepy creatures, or supernatural phenomenon, Law and Strickler's Phantoms and Monsters blog covers it all. Show the world your undying support by purchasing your official Phantoms and Monsters gear today by visiting cafepress.com/Phantoms and Monsters gear to find high quality merchandise such as men and women's apparel, caps, mugs, and assorted gear at prices so affordable, the new Phantoms and Monsters online store will leave you screaming for more. Toast the undead by supersizing your favorite poison with our hefty 15-ounce dishwasher, microwave safe, ceramic mug, emblazoned with the Phantoms and Monsters logo, or haunt your dearly departed friends and family in the latest Phantoms and Monsters fashions, available in a wide variety of bone-chilling styles and sizes. With so much to choose from, it's guaranteed to leave you howling at the moon. Looking for monster deals on a ghoulish selection of spectacular items at frighteningly affordable prices? Then Phantoms and Monsters online store has everything worth dying for. Hurry before your time runs out and visit the Phantoms and Monsters online store today at cafepress.com/Phantoms and Monsters gear. We'll be expecting you.
Come, ye creatures of darkness, to the National Halloween Convention at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center at Oaks. Celebrate all things haunted, Halloween, and horror with tours of the most terrifying haunted attractions in the land and an epic Halloween costume ball. Come, ye creatures of darkness, to the National Halloween Convention, May 2nd through 4th. For tickets and information, go to NationalHalloweenConvention.com.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m. Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in. The Black Cat Lounge every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Para X.
Beyond the Edge Radio.
If you're not listening, you're just stupid.
Welcome back to tonight's program. This is BTE Radio, Beyond the Edge Radio, and we are live here on the Para X Radio Network every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We want to thank everybody who called in for tonight's giveaways. Man, our phone lines just went absolutely haywire, and we did get callers 3 and 4. Josh Brinker out of Scottsdale won the coffee mug. Congratulations to Josh. And to Tom in Lower Borough, who won the Sasquatch Watch. Tom, you're going to enjoy that. Man, I'm envious. Man, this is a cool watch. If you're a Bigfoot fan, you can wear this out in the woods and maybe keep time as you're out there looking for Bigfoot. So, very cool.
Round of applause.
Yay! Congratulations. If you didn't win this time around, don't fret, because at 9:30, we're going to be giving another cool prize away. So, make sure you keep listening to the show. Amy's got some more great paranormal news coming your way, and we've got another great prize coming your way as well. So, keep it right here. Before we get back into the paranormal news, Amy, you have something you want to share with us real quick?
I do. I want to give a shout out to Lon for his remote viewing. earlier this week, my dog, Taco, if you don't follow me on Facebook, if you follow me on Facebook, everybody was aware of the Taco saga. My dog ran off on a walk through the cemetery. Shut up. So I had to leave my little chihuahua overnight in the cemetery. I could not find him. I had some really great people like on standby, really, actually. So we were going to find Taco. We
had great people on
from
standby.
The Bigfoot community. So we had people tracking him. And then we also had, you know, people with a lot of like psychic and medium abilities helping me out. I was really touched. Lon, I'm going to say, you know, it's pretty eerie how close he was. He had said for me to look early in the morning because little Taco was coming back to the cemetery. He was found on the other end of the cemetery in a house. He pushed his way into a little porch. Lon was only one number off, and he talked about a mobile home, and there was an RV parked out back. So I was really kind of shocked when I got there. So thank you, Lon.
You're very welcome.
Taco's home. Yay.
This is fine. You know, you get scared, a little dog like it gets stuck out there in the woods at night. So,
and you know, he's a blues. Okay. My dog.
And you're right, Amy, you are touched in a very special way.
Yes, I am. I've been told that once or twice. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy. My mom had me tested.
Okay, Sheldon.
Bazinga. All right, let's get back to the paranormal news, shall we?
We shall.
Where are we going next, Amy?
To the skies.
Ooh.
Over England, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
Weather experts are baffled after a mysterious black ring appears in the skies above England. 16-year-old Georgina Heap was playing tennis with her mother on Friday evening, April 11, 2014, when she looked up at the sky and noticed a mysterious black ring floating high in the air.
She wasn't smoking anything, was she?
No.
Okay.
Well, they got a picture of that.
No comments from the peanut gallery, please. Let me finish.
Sorry.
All right. So here's another one. Thank goodness for iPhones. We're always going to plug the iPhone. She grabbed her iPhone and quickly snapped a picture. The huge black ring was spotted in the skies. It's a spa town in central England, and the ring remained in the sky for about 3 minutes before disappearing and completely burning off. Weather experts are baffled by what they described as a real-life X-Files event. It's a giant black ring, resembles an extremely well-defined smoke ring, but police said there were no reports of fires in the area. Weather experts, again, say the clearly defined black ring looks like no known weather phenomenon they're aware of. Some speculate that the giant black ring could be a bizarre circle-shaped swarm of insects that either coincidentally formed in an odd circle shape or possibly were blown into a circle shape by wind currents. Strangely, there also appear to be faint evidence of airplane contrails throughout the sky around the strange ring. Similar black rings, distinct in their size and differ from normal smoke rings by extreme definition of the ring's edges, were seen in Virginia in 2009, and even as far back as 1954. Russian military missiles spun out of control is one of the theories. I have no idea why that's a theory. There's also the potential natural explanation, which could be called a vortex ring, where air is forced, cold air and hot air are forced together and kind of blow clouds into that formation. Any thoughts?
Was it an app that looked like the Loch Ness Monster?
No. Didn't you see the picture I sent you a link?
I did. I
saw this picture, and it kind of reminded me of something a reader sent me a couple years ago. It looked pretty similar. It happened in Tennessee, and they never figured out what that was. Now, you know, you said something about insects. Now, this has happened before where insects will swarm. I don't know if they blame it on a magnetic field or whatever that causes this occasionally. I've seen them do spirals, vertical spirals. Look almost like a tornado spiral. But as far as an actual dark ring like that, I don't think I've ever heard it being insects. So, you know, I don't know what that was. But yeah, the picture was definitely clear. And as far as what I thought it was, I don't know. And I don't know what it was.
Wasn't there an article that came out on Cryptozoology News that talked about a Bigfoot researcher who tried to connect a swarm of insects with the connection between UFOs and Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Absolutely had nothing to do with UFOs and Bigfoot, but they said it was a swarm of insects that, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was referring to. That was an odd story because it may have actually been, you know, that's where this theory of the magnetic field came in, that it may have caused that. I don't know how sensitive insects are to magnetic fields, you know, unlike what, you know, birds are, But I don't know. You know, it's a strange phenomenon. It really is. It just so happened in that story, a Bigfoot was part of it. Now, I don't know how true that story was or not, but...
But they didn't make little smoke rings, though.
No.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Has nothing to do with the story
the
that Amy's talking
smoking?
About.
Yeah. No.
Or was Bigfoot smoking? Who was smoking? No.
I think the witness was smoking.
I think so.
Smoking something. I don't know.
Wacky tabacky.
Yeah.
Anyway, now, you know, the picture, I'm going to say, I don't think insects, only because of how far up that ring is compared to, I mean, in perspective with the tree that's there, and, you know, the tree is taller than the houses, and I just, they'd have to be pretty large insects. Or millions of them. I mean, to be that distinct
well,
in the sky.
You know, I heard a phenomenon. Well, and I think it's like, you know, when you see mayfly swarms, but, you know, like midges. I don't know if you know what a midge is, but it's a real, small, yeah, a real small mayfly. And they can form pretty thick clouds. So, and they're really tiny. So, you know, millions and millions of them, you know, it could cause something like that. You know, and I don't know what part of Great Britain has happened, but they do have a lot of mayflies and a lot of midges over there.
Warwickshire is where it was at.
Okay, well, it may very well could have been a limestone stream around there where these things would have come off of. So it's possible.
Here's another thing that I'm going to say that, you know, kind of takes the fun out of it being paranormal. I also saw YouTube videos where they were doing pyrotechnic rings, and they looked very similar to this after they hovered for a while. Not at first, but after they hovered in the air for a while, they looked exactly like this.
Yeah, well, that's possible. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there. See, I do actually do research sometimes.
And it could be birds. They've released a couple videos earlier this year that showed flocks of birds, thousands of them, when they swarm together or flock together, they can create very unusual patterns that look like smoke rings. So, who knows? I don't think it's a UFO, though.
No.
I don't know.
Sorry, people in England, I think you're... Sorry.
I still think it's cool. I would have filmed it myself.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a UFO. Go back to drinking your tea. Sorry.
And crumpets. And butter biscuits.
I'm going to get hate mail now. I love our fans and friends over in England. I really do.
Okay.
I just don't think that story was a UFO.
I don't think we're over there yet, so we are.
Just an unexplained phenomenon. That's
we have fans and listeners in England. I love our fans and listeners in England.
Do we really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, we,
and,
do have,
and
we
have a lot of good friends.
Cheerio.
Yes, we have a lot of good friends and fans from England. And
awesome.
I have a lot of good friends that live in England, but I just don't think that circle is a UFO. So.
No, but it is cool. You got
it. It is. It is. It's very cool. And I just... I haven't seen a phenomenon like that. I think it's probably explainable by birds or insects or, like you said, pyrotechnical smoke or whatever, but I just don't think it's a UFO. Okay, next story.
All right. We're going to bring it back home, down south to Kentucky.
So we can get a hate mail from Kentucky now.
No, I ain't saying nothing about Kentucky. Love you guys anyway. All right, this comes from beforeitsnews.com. Owners of Kentucky Haunted Hospital plan to make it a haunted hotel, which I'm really... let me just read the story for you.
Okay.
Okay. A place that was once home for dying tuberculosis patients and now a popular tourist attraction for paranormal investigators may become more than a haunted hospital sometime in the near future. The owners of the Waverly Hills Sanatorium filed a zoning plan last spring to convert the former hospital into a hotel, and the zoning committee voted in favor for city council to approve the zoning for the project last week. Owners Charlie and Tina Mattingly have plans to turn the former tuberculosis hospital into a 120-room, 4-star hotel, convention center, and liquor bottling business. The hotel will cater to the haunted hotel tourists as well as regular guests. According to the plans, the first floor will be used to that'll include a restaurant, a conference center. The second and third floors will have the hotel rooms. The fourth floor will have meeting rooms and a museum focusing on the hospital. Last Tuesday, the Louisville Metro Council Planning, Zoning, Design, and Land Development Committee voted unanimously for recommendations to approve zoning for the project. It looks to cost about, All right, the Mattinglys purchased the hospital and the 29-acre property for $230,000 in 2001, and in 2012, they acquired additional 80 acres for $800,000. I don't know. They've interviewed people in the area, and they're pretty excited about they would go there and stay there at the hotel.
Well, I have been to Waverly Hills, and I know a lot of people have been to Waverly Hills, and that place is haunted. There's a lot of places that are, everybody says are haunted that aren't particularly haunted, but Waverly Hills is definitely haunted. And, if they're going to use most of the structure from the original building, I got a feeling they're going to have some problems. And, ghost hunting and all that is okay, but, these entities, these energies tend to fight back sometimes, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that it's strong there. Anybody that has been there or has researched the place can tell you very few people go there and not have an experience of some kind.
So, well, not only that, but when you do any kind of renovation in a building, that really stirs things up, and as if they don't need stirred up already, it's going to make things a lot worse than it is. And I've been to Lexington and Louisville, and I've been to Louisville several times, and I've never been to Waverly Hills. I'm kind of ticked at myself.
Yes.
Amy, we discussed, we go to an area to do an event, and you never get to see these places.
You see nothing.
Yes.
Well, it's near Louisville. I mean, it's, it's just one of those things that, if they're going to use the area, I'd say knock the place down. But no, they're going to try and make some money, and I can understand that.
Right.
But wow, it's going to I think it's going to really stir stuff up.
I do too. But I think the building is so structurally damaged from just abuse over the years and being open. And think about it; it's been an open building for decades now, and all the weather abuse and vandalism, I don't think it would be structurally safe to really kind of remodel.
Yeah, what they'll probably do is take a couple of floors off that thing and use the basic part of it as, and just start building on top of it. But either way, it's gonna retain a lot of that energy. And anybody that, has gone into any place and is sensitive to sensitive spirit energy can tell you that place is definitely haunted. And it's and these things just don't go away. They retain themselves. A lot of buildings, when you go, even the houses, if you go into a house and the hauntings are so overwhelming, these things are part of the house. And 9 times out of 10, when it's that bad, you got to knock that place down.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I mean, and it's just hard to get rid of a lot of that, and I'm afraid Waverly Hills is in that category. So I don't know.
Thinking they're kind of like trying to cash in, like, and make it like a Stanley Hotel.
Oh, sure. Oh yeah. Oh, they're trying to cash in on the reputation of the place. For years now, the TV shows have been covering, the ghost hunting TV shows have been covering this place, and they've gotten some results as well. But, there have been some other people that have gone there and taken some fantastic photos. I think that one of the most interesting photos that I've ever seen coming out of there is that the one of that young girl that seems to be coming out into the hallway from a room. And it's an amazing photo. And nobody I heard has been able to debunk it. So,
It kind of breaks my heart. I mean, I know people were going in there to investigate, and that's what it's been used for since, I think, it closed in 82.
Mm-hmm.
It's to, like, turn it into like a touristy, like a Disney World kind of, it's like, it's kind of disrespectful to me. It's like, when's enough enough?
Well, there's been a lot of death there too. And, You know, it's just that, you know, people would say, well, you know, people go to battlefields and, you know, there's a lot of death there. Yeah, I understand that, and it is. But people aren't staying overnight on the battlefield. You know, they're not going out there and, you know, they're not going out there to take advantage of, you know, those people that are dead, I mean, are the spirits. I mean, they do experience phenomena at a battlefield, but, you know, they're going to go to this hotel wanting to experience something.
But they do, that opens a whole can of worms. Because they do offer that at several places, like Hillview, for example, in Newcastle, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania, and some of these other places, like the Lizzie Borden House, where they offer people to come in and investigate. They charge an exorbitant amount of money for groups to come in and investigate. They do it at Waverly Hills. So they're doing the same thing. They're just making it a little fancier and giving people the chance to stay overnight.
Well, I just, you know, those situations, I try to stay away from those situations myself. And, you know, I just don't like it. But, you know, that's my opinion. It doesn't, you know, they're going to have people come in there and they're going to have people want to see something. And I think people are going to see things. And I think they're going to experience a lot of different things. It's just like the Queen Mary. I mean, mm-hmm. people go to the Queen Mary to experience these things. And I have no problem with that. But it's just that, you know, it's not a place where thousands of people passed away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so. I think that's what bothers me. And I think sometimes what really bothers me is we forget that we're talking about human life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a sideshow. I mean, this was a horrible, horrible past and, you know, all those lives lost. And, you know, don't get me wrong. If somebody gave me the chance to go down to Waverly Hills, I'd want to go see it. But, you know, I also take a different mindset than just, you know, maybe a lot of people do, so.
Oh, you want to see something scary? Come to my house.
Oh.
You can come for free, and you'll see something scary.
Awesome. Sign me up.
Yeah. Pretty frightening. All right, where are we going next, Amy?
You threw me. I was going to your house for a second. All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Yeah.
All right. Wichita, we're going to go back to the sky. all right. Jeff Templin is an amateur photographer. He says he's seen it all until now. While taking pictures of wildlife back in February, something caught his eye. He said it looked like an unusual contrail. Right over the city, clear as a bell, said Templin. Anyone that was looking up would have seen it. You don't usually see military or even civilian aircraft jets that leave contrails making those kind of severe departures off any given route. Templin says the aircraft made several severe 180-degree turns in the sky in the shape of an S, even more unusual. It was absolutely silent, no sound. He took a few photos. I don't know if you guys were able to see the length of photos. There's like a very faint outline. Almost looks triangular in shape.
I have seen it.
Okay. He put the pulled the photos up on his computer and processed them, he was surprised to see this triangular shape that's not like anything you typically see. Templin says he's a big fan of airplanes, so there's no doubt that what he saw wasn't an airplane. He does think it's one of ours, but it's unidentified. We reached aviation experts. The base told them that they were unable to identify the aircraft. They did say it could be a B-2 bomber, mm-hmm. but couldn't confirm it.
That's what I've heard, one of the explanations, that it was a B-2 bomber flying over pretty high. But I've also heard other people say it's other things, like one of our undisclosed airplanes, you know, under one of those high-tech unreleased airplanes.
Invisible shield?
I don't know.
Did you see the picture?
Yeah. It's weird looking.
It does, you know, it does look like it might have been a B-2, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think that's what it was. It was probably an experimental aircraft of some type. I've seen some conception, some images made of these by some artist, and it may very well be something experimental. You know, every once in a while, and even, I mean, especially in my area, we get these triangles. These triangle-shaped craft that just show up, hovering over a building, huge things, and for a second or two, and they're, you know, they just vanish. And in around this, the Baltimore-Washington metro area, they're fairly common. I mean, I've even gotten reports of these things showing up in Baltimore, right in, you know, right in the middle of the city. And, you know, they're there for a second or so and they're gone. And, you know, nothing residual or nothing to it. So, it may very well be, an experimental aircraft. It was very high. I'm kind of surprised they got the, got as much of the, you know, image as they did. But, you know, these triangular shaped craft have been seen for a long time, so it may very well be an experimental plane.
Maybe it was a Russian spy plane. They're trying to keep them out of our airspace.
They had to pop that thing out of there. they got missiles that can go that high.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's a very interesting picture, and it was talked about on Facebook quite a bit this week, and a lot of speculation as to what it is, where it came from, where it went. And if it's something military, they're not talking about it, obviously. And there's been a B-2 bomber has been the most guessed answer that I've seen.
It also showed up over Texas a couple of times, too. So there's been other sightings in other areas.
I honestly don't know what it is.
Well, I can understand that. You know, there's been, you know, there, for years, a lot of these experimental, even these old, back when they were experimenting these stealth planes, they were showing up out in Texas. So, you know, this may be another type of stealth type of plane. I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting story.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of what cartoon, you guys can help me out because I'm a girl.
Well, I don't know about that.
A long time ago, there was a cartoon with an invisible plane. What was that?
Wonder Woman?
And Wonder Woman had an invisible plane?
Yes.
Okay, but no, there was... Okay, that's not what I was thinking of. Well, you would know Wonder Woman, I guess. But
Johnny Quest.
Ah, thank you. That's what I was thinking of. No, I was like, no, there was a dude, not Wonder Woman. Okay.
Well, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, well, we... All right. All right, now I'm going to take you to Why Bigfoot Stinks.
Uh-oh. Lack of deodorant.
It's the science behind Bigfoot odor. Before the white man conquered the American Northwest, tales of Bigfoot have been told among the natives for thousands of years. Bigfoot is just the fancy name that the local California newspaper nicknamed the cryptid in 1958. In 1856, American geologist and ethnologist George Gibbs wrote about another race of beings who roamed the forest and are known to the Native Americans as Titsco? I don't know how to... I'm
Siatko.
Sorry. Siatko, thank you.
Siatko.
All right, well, thank you. Take it away, Eric. Anyway, these creatures, he wrote, are supposed to infest the earth. Although most tribes believe in these peculiar giants, each tribe describes them in a different way. And by some, the Siatko, is that how you say it?
Siatko.
Siatko. All right,
Siatko.
Thank you. All right, well...
You say tomato, I say tomato.
All right, whatever. Well, the Bigfoot people. Described as a gigantic size, their feet 18 inches long and shaped like a bear's. They wore no clothes, but the body is covered with hair like that of a dog, only not that thick. They are said to live in the mountains in holes underground and to smell badly. They come down chiefly in the fishing season, at which time the Indians are excessively afraid of them. They are visibly only at night and at which times they approach houses, steal salmon, carry off young girls, and smother children. That's what Gibbs said. The physical attributes given to the beast may just sound like a legend until one compares the thousands of Bigfoot sightings and the descriptions provided in eyewitness accounts. Indeed, this is not enough proof that Sasquatch is real, but there is no doubt that the similarities between the ancient legends and the recent sightings are astounding and can't be ignored. Let's focus exclusively on the smell. Canadian retired journalist and Bigfoot researcher John Green says that only about 10% of Sasquatch sightings are connected with a strong smell.
Mm-hmm.
It is a distinctive stench that separates Bigfoot from the other cryptids. Now, the question is, why the smell? Why does this happen when a sighting occurs? The answer could be as simple as a defense mechanism. Similar to the skunk, mountain gorillas are known for emanating an intense odor.
I think they're gassy. Hey, we all get that way.
Is that what you... Or, you know, there's a theory it's because they have lots of hair and don't bathe?
That's true, too.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, John is right. Not all the reports talk about these things smelling. It's actually a very small number of reports that actually talk about them smelling, and there's a variety of descriptions of what they smell like. And they range from rotten egg to sulfur to musk to body odor to wet dog to strong urine to fecal matter to rotting flesh to garbage. I mean, it ranges the whole gambit of smells. And it may be a defense mechanism, like the story says they may have like a gland in their neck or under their arm that's a defense mechanism. Some primates give off that smell. It may be the fact that they are maybe a half animal, half human type of creature where they don't bathe or they roll around in their own fecal matter that because they don't bathe. There's a variety of reasons why they may smell. It may be a situation where, you know, they are gassy. They ate a bad beef burrito. We don't know. You know, there's a variety of reasons why they could smell. Maybe they just, you know, hung out in the sun too long that day and just, you know, they're a little ripe. Didn't use deodorant or Axe body spray. I don't know. But people seem to think that they always smell, and that's not necessarily the case. They just don't. They don't all smell. Maybe they're all
very
just...
rarely when I got a report. There is their smell involved.
Mm-hmm.
I can say whatever it was I saw had this scent of like fox urine, but it wasn't anything that outrageous. I mean,
but let me ask you, Lon, was the smell that you smelled, was it coming from that creature, or is it possible there was fox urine smell in the area?
No, I actually think it did come from that because I had never smelled that before.
Okay,
I used to use fox urine to go. For masking when I used to go deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was familiar with the smell, and for it to pop up like that, I don't know if he had actually, you know, put it on him. You know, JC's had this contention that the furry ones out there use skunk glands to mask their scent, or mask the scent of their young ones. So, you know, I don't know if this thing was using that as a for defense or for masking. I don't know. But you're right, though. Very few reports come in where people have had an encounter with these things where they notice the smell. And that could be because they're scared the crap out of them. They don't notice the smell, but
right.
I don't know.
And something else to consider, they may kill an animal and rub that animal's smell on them if they're out hunting. Like we do. We cover ourselves with animal scents put scents around us when we're out hunting deer or small game. You know, that's very possible that they may do that to cover their scent, you know, to mask themselves from other animals. We really don't know. There's a lot of theories and a lot of speculation why they do or don't smell. But I know from my personal experience and the reports that I get that a lot of these animals or people or beings or whatever you want to call them, a lot of the reports that we get don't have a smell associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
Other researchers say they do have a smell associated with them. So it depends on who you ask. But I know from my personal experience and from the research I've conducted and what I've read that a lot of them don't have a smell associated with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eric, since you're out looking all the time, have you ever just had those smells? Like have you walked through the smells? And
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
and no, not from you.
No, well, okay, I'll admit there's been times where I've smelled myself and gone, whew, man, I stink. But there have been times where I've been walking through the forest and have walked into what I call a wall of stink or smell and caught that on the wind, and it's there, and then it's a few seconds later, it's gone. And it's like, wow, did you smell that? And somebody else will say, yeah, was that you? And no, it wasn't me or wasn't, you know, the other person. And it's very, very strong. It's a sulfuric smell or a dead animal smell or a garbage smell, like I've described, or even a really strong musky odor smell. And as quickly as it's come, it's gone. Now, could that be from a rotting animal in the area? Sure. Could it be from another animal in the area? Sure. But I've had several experiences like that where we've been out hiking or camping or whatever in the woods and smelled that. And for whatever reason, it's there, and then it's gone. So, yes, I have experienced that.
So, like, phantom smells, like with hauntings?
I guess you'd call it phantom smells. We can't attribute it to anything because we didn't see or hear anything, but it was there and gone.
Okay. Well, hopefully I don't walk into a wall of stank or whatever you call it.
Yeah, usually that would be me.
All right.
So if you're out in the woods and you smell it, then you can pretty much blame me.
Yet another reason to stay home. Mm-hmm. All right.
Where are we off to next, Amy?
Okay, we're off to Bolivia.
Ooh. No more skies?
No, not right now, okay, no, but right. I'll bring you back if you want.
No, we'll go to Bolivia.
Okay, we'll go to Bolivia. All right. All right. There's a strange, smoky, ghostly figure captured on video gliding through stands during a Bolivian soccer game. I don't know if you had a chance to look at the video. I did.
I did, yes.
Okay. A strange, ghostly video was captured on video during the taping of a Bolivian soccer game last week. The dark, silhouetted figure can be seen gliding at a fast, steady clip through the crowd. The ghostly figure seemingly passes through the fans, a concrete barrier separating two sections of the stadium stands. Fans do not seem to react as the smoky figure passes or speeds through them. The specter was captured during a television broadcast on April 17th, 2014, during a soccer game in the Hernando Stadium in Bolivia. Fans who noted that this is not the first time a ghostly presence has presented itself at a soccer game have been spooked by the ghostly video that is now running viral through the country. Some Venezuelans believe the ghost is that of their deceased president, Hugo Chavez, now responsible for saving an otherwise certain goal during an international match against Colombia. A ghostly figure has been seen tapping the ball also over the goalpost.
Hmm.
It's an interesting video. I just don't... The only thing that makes me wary of it is that it doesn't seem like anybody in the crowd is reacting to it. You know, I think if an apparition walked in front of me, you know, I'd have reacted somehow.
Maybe they just don't see it.
Well, that very well could be, too. But, you know, this thing was, you know, videotaped, you know, a pretty good distance away. And it had to have been fairly dark in color or in mass to have been able to pick it up that way. So, I don't know. I would think somebody in the stands would have seen it. But, you know, you never know. You know, it's
I've seen the video.
Something I'll explain.
It's interesting, but I mean, was the crowd going ole, 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 ole? I mean,
no,
are
they
too busy doing that to pay attention?
Okay,
no,
so now we can count out our fans and.
No, I mean, I think most people were sitting down at the time, and you know, it seemed like it was running right down a row there where people were sitting. So, but you know, you think people in the back that were looking that way could have seen something?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's interesting, but, you know, there are thousands of things on YouTube that, you know, are questionable. And,
oh, sure.
You know, but, you know, these things go viral and, you know.
Well, the thing that I'm kind of, I kind of am intrigued by it, it was filmed during the television broadcast. So was it filmed by people, you know, at the TV station, or was it just some random person in the crowd, and then they just said, "Oh, it was well, that was the game that was televised."
Well, you know, if the television crew, if it came directly from the television crew and wasn't doctored somehow, then yeah, I mean, if they acknowledge that, you know, that was the actual video, then yeah, that would sound that would make it more convincing.
Fans in Bolivia, send your hate mail to SeanForker@gmail.com.
Yeah, don't send it here. No.
Yeah, and how do you know Bolivians go ole, ole?
I don't know. The soccer game.
That was terrible.
I know. I don't watch soccer.
All right, Archie Bunker.
I mean, I've seen soccer games on TV where they do that.
Well, and then, Lon, you're saying nobody saw it. I mean, I would think maybe somebody might be prone to feel it more than see it, because, I mean, look how many pictures people snap and there's nothing, you don't see anything until the picture's developed.
Well, yeah, that's true, too, but, you know, if it's a chain of evidence as far as it being, you know, shot by, if it was actually shot by a crew during a game and, that it came straight to the studio and wasn't doctored, and actually, you know, people had seen it during the broadcast. then yeah, I mean, then it could very well be, you know, the authentic. I don't know if that was the case, though.
Yeah, it's hard to tell what it is. I did see the video. It's interesting. I don't know what the soccer fans were singing at the time, but who knows? I'll leave it at that.
All right, thank you.
Okay. So where besides Bolivia are we going to next?
Now you got me all discombobulated.
I do that quite well, don't I?
Boobulated?
You do.
Well, I'm a boob, so.
Combobulated.
I know, it's discombobulated.
She calls me a boob all the time, so.
Yeah, boob is my favorite word.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to lighten it up just a little bit and throw in a little, I know this isn't what I'm, you know, here for, the entertainment stuff, but Friday the 13th, the classic slasher film, is now becoming a TV series once again. The 80s film that kept you up at night and made you afraid to go to summer camp is going to be made into a frighteningly new TV series. They tried it back in the 80s. I don't remember that. Do you remember it as a TV series?
It was very frightening because it was very bad.
Okay. Worse than the movies?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the movies. It was about it was about a couple, like a man and woman. They were like investigators or something. And they were kind of like the Haunted Collector. They were trying to find haunted items that were possessed, that were killing people. It was a very bad TV show, and they had to return these haunted items that were bought from some kind of consignment shop and return them to the consignment shop. It was only on for like a season or two.
Okay, I was going to say, what did they make, two episodes? I don't remember.
It was very bad. It was
of course, I was a baby in 1980.
Well, yes, you were, but...
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, moving on. Anyway, well, this time around, the new show focuses on the actual plot of the movie. It focuses on an eclectic group of characters at Crystal Lake who are forced to confront the return of the killer as new secrets about his wacky family are revealed, according to Deadline, which was one of the first websites to break the news. Friday the 13th will be set on our present time. However, it seems a lot of flashbacks will be involved, showing Jason in multiple time periods. Unfortunately, there's been no set release date for the first episode, but producers have guaranteed that it's going to be well worth the wait. And also, the director, Sean S. Cunningham from the film, is actually going to be working on this TV show. So maybe it will be worth checking it out.
Well, the original Friday the 13th movie that came out was done fairly well, considering the time it was put out. You know, it was done, I thought, very well. Even though there wasn't a lot of blood and guts in it, it was still done pretty well, and then it kind of went downhill from there. But
when he went to space?
Yeah. We won't go there. It's kind of like Muppets in space. But maybe the show will actually be pretty good. I mean, they put out some pretty good thrillers, and, you know, like American Horror Story and Sleepy Hollow and stuff like that have come out recently. So
they're both good.
Yeah, maybe this will be pretty good. Salem, you've liked that show so far, Amy, and mm-hmm. You know, maybe this will be pretty good too. I always like a good thriller, and I mean, we can keep our fingers crossed, right?
I'll take a stab at it.
Yeah, I'm not into slasher movies or zombie movies.
I am.
Well, we'll watch it for you.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, no, you were talking about American Horror Story. Oh, that show is very well done. FX? That is FX.
Yeah.
Or Fox. Maybe that's Fox. But, you know, even the big networks are putting good stuff out now, too, which, you know, wasn't the case for a long time. So, but the horror genre, the vampire genre and all that, boy, I'm telling you, it's a lot of it out there now.
Have you checked out Salem yet, Lon?
No, I haven't.
You'll like that one if you like American Horror.
We'll look forward to it. You said there's no release date on it? I think I lost everybody. That's kind of weird. I did. I lost Amy and I lost Lon on that one there. Well, I have to look forward to that show coming out in the future and see what it holds. And hopefully we'll get Amy and Lon back on here in just a few seconds. But, And we'll see what happens. But why don't we go ahead and take a break real quick, and we'll come back after the break with more BTE Radio here on the Para-X Radio Network. Keep it right where it's at.
Kick back, relax, and crack a cold one. Beyond the Edge Radio will be right back.
Would we lie?
Beyond the Edge Radio.
All right, we're back live. Don't know what happened there, but we're back. Sorry about the wonderful world of internet crashing on us. That was awesome.
And you know what? We've been doing pretty good, you know, ever since we've been with Para-X.
Yeah.
God.
I thank Comcast for that one.
Yeah, that sounded like a Comcast.
It was either that or Amy's fan base decided to pull the plug.
Well, I tell you, when it went off... when it went off, my Skype lit up like a Christmas tree, so I figured it had to be either the internet or you lost power.
No, the power was fine. Everything was going good here, and Amy was talking about Friday the 13th, and she was talking about that story, and then we started talking about American Horror Story, and then I looked over, and everybody shut up, and I was like, wow, the gods have answered me. Kidding, Amy. You know I love you. I'm kidding. And everybody went quiet, and I was like, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
It's going to get real quiet on this end, sir.
Okay.
Right. Well, you may as well take a break and do our next giveaway.
Well, I just did a break.
Oh, okay.
For the archive show.
We have to do the giveaway?
So,
we'll do a giveaway next week.
Well, we can do a giveaway right now. Why don't we go ahead and take a caller while we try to get ourselves recombobulated? So why don't we go ahead and take...
Boobulated.
Recombobulated. We'll take our third caller right now. We'll go ahead and do it live on the air here.
Okay.
Take our third caller. What are we going to give away?
We're going to give away a hat.
A BTE radio hat. Just because we're such great people and because you tolerated us through that horrible nightmare of an internet crashing. 877-677-2858. 877-677-2858 or 724-824-1494, 724-824-1494. We'll take the third caller right now to win a BTE radio, Beyond the Edge radio ball cap. And you don't have to do anything but call in, win. We'll get your name. We'll give you an email address to send us your contact information, and Lon will get that out in the mail to you. So we'll take the third caller right now. So we'll go to the phone lines right now. We're going to lighten up. Just going to push the button here.
Number 3.
And the internet just died again.
No,
no, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. What?
No, it didn't die. Just waiting for the third caller. Everybody called earlier.
I guess they were so mad. Yeah.
They were so mad because they didn't win earlier. Now they're not going to call. Amy can start singing.
Oh, boy. Hurry up. Dial in. Okay, maybe doing that live on air wasn't
such a good
idea.
Okay, there we go. First caller. Okay, we'll have the first call here. You're caller number one. Try back. We're looking for caller number three. You're caller number two. Call back. We're looking for caller number three. Oh, here we go. Here's caller number three. We're going to go ahead and add him.
Woohoo!
Hi, you're caller number three. Welcome to the program. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Pat Duchesne, and I'm from Clinton, Connecticut.
Pat, welcome to the program. Congratulations, you're number three. Just for putting up with our wackiness tonight, you won a BTE hat. How cool is that?
Oh, very, very cool.
Awesome.
It is very cool. Nice to talk to you, Pat.
Hi, Amy.
Congratulations. Hi. Do me a favor, Pat. Send us your contact information to beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Your address and everything, and Lon will be more than happy to get you that snazzy BTE radio ball cap out in the mail to you.
Oh, good.
Oh, snazzy. Right.
It is snazzy. I've seen it.
You're welcome.
I'm
jealous. A good night.
You guys are awesome. All right.
Thanks, Pat. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Thank
you. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
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 See, we asked for a third caller. We get it finally. Thank you, Pat. Congratulations. And now everybody's calling in. The phones are going to light up for the next 15 minutes.
Wow. All of our listeners are fantastic.
They are. We love you all.
Congratulations, Pat.
Thank you. And thank you for everybody who called in. What?
I was like, what are you thanking me for?
I'm not thanking you.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. All right. We got about 28 minutes left in the show. And this is a paranormal news show tonight. And anything can happen. And as you just saw, it did. So we're going to get back to the paranormal news. We were talking about Friday the 13th, and it was unlucky for us. So we're going to move on to the next story.
Yeah, let's just stop that one right now. Because I was doing that sound, too, and then it all went dead. I was doing that.
You jinxed us. It was your fault.
I did. All right. All right. I guess we're going to head over to, where are we going? Zaragoza, Spain.
Okay, Spain.
This comes
Can
from...
I go ole, ole, ole,
no,
ole?
No, please. Right. Let's not cause any more discord with any other countries.
Okay, I'll behave.
All right, this comes from our very own Phantoms and Monsters blog.
Ooh.
All right, so, hello, I'd like to tell you about an experience I had in 1954 while working with the U.S. Naval Engineers at Zaragoza Air Base near Zaragoza, Spain. He had been in Spain for only a few people know of his experience, his wife who is deceased and two close friends who have also passed away. I've read some of the stories of other people you have published, and I thought I could add my own to the record. After I'd been in Spain for several weeks, I decided to take in the surroundings.
I was told by some of the locals of a monastery that would be an excellent place to visit.
Walked through the vineyard and reached a small pond, which had a loud chorus of frogs. By this time, it was dark, but there was a fair amount of available moonlight. But I still needed a flashlight to see where I was going. I walked around the pond and started to cross a small bridge over a narrow stream. As I walked over the bridge, I noticed something run through the water about 50 feet upstream. There was enough moonlight to where I could make out an upright shape. This thing was headed toward the high rocks, though I lost sight of it. I stood silent for about 5 minutes. It was eerie because the frogs are now quiet. The only sound was coming from the direction of the rocks, and the noise was very strange. It sounded like a guttural yak, yak, yak series that would pause for a few seconds, then repeat. It also would fade in and out, and after a few minutes it stopped. I had no idea what it was. I continued on the trail until I heard the yak yak sound again, and this time it was very close. I instantly stopped walking and started searching around me with the flashlight. Just then, some gravel landed on me, and a loud yak 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 sound was coming from above me. I quickly looked up and pointed the flashlight. There was a creature standing on a small ledge about 15 feet away, staring at me with yellow eyes reflecting back. It was screaming yak 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 in constant rhythm. This was the most ghastly thing I had ever witnessed. It was standing on two legs and was about 4 to 5 feet tall. I've read about reptilian encounters on your blog, and while I think this may have been one, it was dark in color and had arms like a human. The face looked like that of a lizard, resembling that of an iguana. After a few seconds, it leaped off the ledge of the trail, swiftly running on two legs in an opposite direction. It was then that I noticed a long tail as it moved away from me. I quickly made my way back toward the inn and directly to my room. I laid in bed thinking about this creature the entire night. I was terrified to look out my window, fearing that it followed me back. Early in the morning, he checked out and drove back to Zaragoza, but he has no proof of his experience other than his eyewitness account.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I got that this week. It was an interesting story. The guy I actually did get in contact with him. He's I think he told me he was 87 now.
Oh.
But he said his friends had known about it and his wife had known about it, and he wasn't really sure what he saw, but he thinks he's just going by some of the descriptions of stuff that people have sent me. He thinks it may have been a reptilian of some type. So, we do get these, we do get these type of sightings, and a lot of times it has something to do with either a cave. In this instance, it was like a grotto. They seem to stick close to large rock structures. If they're out in the wild or out somewhere other than someplace urban, but yeah, they're scary, and I do get a fair amount of these sightings.
I don't know what I would do if I seen a reptilian creature.
Yeah, he seemed pretty cool about it, I guess, from the way he wrote it. I don't know. He seemed, and when I talked to him in his voice, you can kind of pick up the reflection of a person's voice, and I think this guy really did see something. I don't know exactly what he saw, but I think he really saw something. And these reptilians, a lot of them are seen here, in certain areas, and we also get an occasional reptilian involvement in an abduction or something like that, but there's just way too many of these stories going out there. I don't think a lot of people are making it up. I think they've actually experienced something, and they just really don't know what they had an encounter with.
Maybe it was Sean.
No, it wasn't Sean.
Just guessing. It's an interesting story. It's a little creepy. I mean, it fits the description. 5 foot tall, reptilian looking.
Normally, they're usually bigger than that. I don't know if this is a juvenile or something else, but
just kidding, Sean.
you know.
Very weird story.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of weird.
Very strange.
Any of those reptilian kind of things are very weird to me.
Well, they say we have reptilians running our offices in politics. They do. Well,
that is that. Speaking of scary,
that's David Icke talking about all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does. You know, I you know, when I was working with David Eckhart, and which I still am, because you know, that case now is over 10 years old, and when he had his encounters and abductions, and I mean, the whole thing was going on. It seemed like a couple of nights a week these things were coming in, and some of the evidence he's collected during that time, you know, when we had Ben Hansen on to talk to him from Fact or Faked or whatever, you know, and he kind of let us know when we talked to him that he thought that David was telling the truth. And, you know, David would talk to me about these reptilian creatures and all the stuff that he had witnessed. It's pretty gruesome. And I'll be quite honest, but there is a lot of that I've never disclosed. I may very well do that one day. But some of it is pretty outrageous. And it's but I do believe David when he talks about it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it can be somewhat unbelievable, but I don't know what the agenda is for these things. You know, you go and watch TV shows like Ancient Aliens and such, and they talk, well, even Hangar One, they talk about reptilians or even the Greys that are hybridization of human beings and aliens, and that they have an agreement with the governments of the world that they can take so many bodies, or, you know, because a lot of people disappear, you know, never heard of again. And it does make you think. And I don't know. I just I'm not totally convinced of it, but as the years have gone by, and the more I've written about it and more of the stories I've seen about it, I kind of lean that way, that there's something definitely going on.
I don't know. Well, let's move on to the next story, shall we, Amy?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wake
You're fired. You're fired. All right.
Amy's news was brought to you tonight by Zytol.
All right. I'm going to kind of scooch over to the Munster star, Butch Patrick. He plans just because I wanted to hear you do that song.
Better than Ole, Ole, Ole.
It is. At least that one's. That one has some truth behind it. All right. He plans to save a haunted mansion. The haunted Victorian mansion belongs to his late aunt.
Was it on Mockingbird Lane?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. The Munster star Butch Patrick plans to save the Victorian mansion he says is haunted. The 60-year-old actor portrayed Eddie Munster on the spooky 1960s show, and he says he's no stranger to the supernatural. He plans to save his late aunt's home in Macon, Missouri, and has reportedly discovered that the house is haunted. Every 20 years or so, I would drive by the house to visit, and last time I went by, I found it was in foreclosure, and it was close to being wrecked. I'm working with the banks to try and save it, and lo and behold, it turns out it's haunted. The star says his grandmother and sister both experienced paranormal activity in the house, but he himself never noticed anything unusual until now. I've had some experts come in, and they found like 13 entities in the house, Patrick reports. The actor has an avid interest in the supernatural and has visited several haunted locations in the U.S., including the Roosevelt Hotel and the Wheelie House. He says that he has felt something interesting going on there, including something passing through his body, but has never actually physically seen anything. Patrick plans to write a coffin table book with fan stories about the Munsters sometime in the near future. Thoughts?
You know, he still looks the same as he did back on the show.
At 60?
Yeah. Have you seen his picture?
No, I haven't. I'll have to look at it later.
It's just terrible. You know, it's a little grayer.
Where's this house located at?
It's on Mockingbird Lane.
In Macon, Missouri.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know, he talked about the Roosevelt Hotel. Man, there's been a lot of stuff going on in that place. That's in Hollywood. A lot of stars are seen there. Marilyn Monroe, William Fraley has been seen there. Actually, William Fraley died there. He fell down the steps of the front of the hotel and died. You know, William Fraley is the guy that played Fred on I Love Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ethel's Fred.
Yeah. So, you know, people have seen different, you know, Cary Grant's been seen there. I'm offhand, I can't think, but I know the Roosevelt Hotel. You know, when you talk about Hollywood haunts and stuff, that always comes up. So, I mean, I'm quite sure if it's a celebrity that, you know, is into ghost hunting, they know a lot about the Roosevelt Hotel. But, you know, if he's got the money to fix it up, fine, you know. But like we said before, he starts fixing things. You start fixing things up, things start going a little crazy. So,
yeah, but I don't know. Is it a coincidence that he's writing a coffin table book at the same time that this house has 13 entities?
No, he's taking advantage of who he is. I mean, as far as doing the show.
What else has he got going on for him?
A widow's peak.
Well, I don't know. He's probably a lot of these, you know, people know, a lot of people know I'm in the autograph business. So a lot of these stars, and I'm talking about older stars and such, that's how they make their living nowadays, going to all these autograph shows.
Yeah, they don't make much money because, if you really think about it, I've gone to a lot of these autograph shows, and they don't have a lot of people that show up, and because they charge, what, $40 or $50 an autograph?
It just depends on the show. I mean, a lot of times the promoter will go ahead and do an upfront on them, and, then they sign as many as they can. I don't know how much they make. I think the average star does anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 on the average per show. That used to be one of the closest rate. I don't know if it's going up or down. But you know, a lot of stars do that. I mean, it's, you know, have done it, still do it.
And, right. That's all they do.
You know, hell, Mickey Rooney did it until he died. I know, I can't think of his name offhand, the guy who did McHale's Navy. He
Ernest
died.
Borgnine.
Ernest Borgnine. Yeah. I've had to think for
he did it, you know, he did it for years. Up until close to the time he died. So a lot of the old Hollywood people, I can't say old, but a lot of the 60s and 50s and 60s stars have, you know, still do that. So, yeah.
So when I'm 50 or 60 years old, I can go to these celeb cons and sign autographs.
I suppose.
Cool.
Yeah.
So guess what I'll be doing when I'm retired? The same thing I'm doing now, sitting in a booth with nobody coming by.
All right. I'm going to girl up the last story.
Okay.
Okay, I got to girl it up. I'm the uterus of the show.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, all right, just because I really, you know, this touches my heart. It's about an Ohio couple married for 70 years that dies hours apart.
Aw.
Helen Flumley, 92, died on April 12th at her home in Nashport, Ohio, about 55 miles east of Columbus, and her husband Kenneth Flumley, 91, passed away the next day, according to their joint obituary. They were married for 70 years, almost never sleeping apart, and they died from natural causes within a span of 15 hours, according to their daughter. "We knew when one went, the other one was going to go," said Linda Cody to the Zanesville Times Recorder. "We wanted them to go together, and they did. The couple met as teenagers, married in 1944. They raised 8 children together. Helen was a homemaker. Kenneth was a railroad worker. They were both active in their Methodist church. They taught Sunday school. They spent their retirement traveling to all 50 states by bus so that they could see the sights as they went along. And even after 70 years of marriage, they still ate breakfast every morning holding hands. The couple never slept apart until 3 years ago when Kenneth had part of his leg amputated due to circulation issues. Helen became his main caretaker and also started spending some nights on the couch. She was staying strong for Dad, and he was staying strong for her, and that's what kept them going. Kenneth Plumley passed away with his family by his side after saying, "Mom's dead." The couple had 23 grandchildren and 43 great-grandchildren, but the thing, I just find it really odd that, you know, they were so happy together for all those years and just died that close to one another.
It happens. I mean, it does happen. My great-grandparents died like 5 days apart, and they were in their 90s. And, you know, I know of other people whose relatives have done the same thing. So, you know, it does happen, you know.
It's sad, but yes, it does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are
sad. We're guying it up.
I knew that would bomb with you. Yeah, yeah, you're guying it up. No, I just think, like, wow, their souls are that connected. Are they just kind of hanging on, like, which one's going to go first? What happens there?
I think it does. I think some souls are connected. You know, they loved each other for as long as they did, and they were married that long, and gosh, they had 43 great grandkids and 20 some kids and 8 kids. And
yeah, that's remarkable. You know, you figure, like, the life force kind of weakens out when somebody passes away, like they're so close to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously lived that long together, and they stayed strong for each other that long. And then when one of them dies, the other person's reason for living kind of dies with them.
That's so sad.
You brought the whole show down now.
I did. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's a love story, though. But now they're together in the afterlife.
Okay.
Whole and happy and healthy.
All right. Okay, well, that fixed
that,
it.
That ends my stories now that I brought everybody down.
Way to go, Amy.
Yeah.
We're not having you back. You're fired. No, I'm kidding. All right. Well, I guess that wraps up the paranormal news then.
It certainly does.
Well, great job tonight. I enjoyed the paranormal news with you, Amy. Great job. Yay.
Aw, thank you very
much. Your one fan clapping his hands.
Thank you.
Great job tonight. Some good stories. Unfortunately, our internet crashed and right in the middle of a Friday the 13th story. But excellent job tonight. You did very, very well. Very proud of you. And folks who did enjoy tonight's paranormal news with you will be happy to know that you'll be coming back every other month with us to do another paranormal news. So that means you'll be back in June, at the end of June, to do another paranormal news story with us. And if they like you so much, maybe we'll have you back once a month.
Ooh.
Do you think they could handle that, Lon?
Don't know.
Do you think we could handle that?
Don't know.
Oh, you guys love me.
Don't know. Just kidding. Yeah, it was a lot of fun tonight. I actually enjoyed discussing paranormal news. I know our fans enjoyed it. And very interesting stories tonight. Very, very interesting stories. A lot of strange things going on in the world of the paranormal.
Well, thank you guys for your input, because I would have really bombed with that air after reading the story.
We would have heard crickets.
Yeah. I'm used to that.
Yeah, I could have sat here and gone, ole, 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 all night long.
Yeah, don't talk about my singing anymore.
Well, we won't go there. We won't go there. But unfortunately, Sean didn't join us tonight. He's probably still sitting in the hot tub and eating. Lucky SOB.
Yeah, he is lucky. I had to come back and go to work. What the heck?
Yeah, some of us did. Well, he still stays and plays in the hot tub and continues dining and doing whatever he's doing tonight. But he will be back next week on the program as we welcome Christopher O'Brien. Stalking the Herd is the name of the book that he's just put out, and we'll be talking about cattle mutilations next week on the program. And it's going to be an interesting show next week, Lon.
Yep. Always looking forward to having Chris on the show. Yeah. Might be talking a little bit of Skinwalkers, too, Skinwalker Ranch as well. So make sure you tune in next week. Lots of surprises.
Yeah, and since we have some time, we have 7 minutes to the end of our show, and the next host is running a little bit late from what I understand. Let's go over a couple of the events and some of the guests coming up for the next few weeks, if we may. Mm-hmm. Very quickly, if you want to find out the event or the guest list on the program for the next couple of months, you can go to our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. www.thegoodwife.com. And we have the listing up there for May and June. But as I said, next week on the show, Christopher O'Brien, Stalking the Herd is the name of the book. It's all about cattle mutilations. He'll be our guest next week. May 11th, Aaron Keto and Christopher Balzano will be on talking about one of our favorite places in the United States, the Bridgewater Triangle out of Massachusetts. And it is an area that is just full of intrigue and mystery. And it covers pretty much the gambit of the paranormal, from ghosts and haunted locations, ghostly locations, to strange cryptid creatures like giant snakes, thunderbirds, Bigfoot, the Pukwudgies, which are these little troll-like creatures running around, very strange, UFO sightings, haunted insane asylums, the red-headed hitchhiker of Route 44, Lon. There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on up there in the Bridgewater Triangle.
Yeah, it really does. And actually, it just doesn't include, includes other areas outside the triangle as well. There's some areas I used to go to. Well, I had gone through the Miles Standish Forest, for one thing, not far out of Plymouth, Massachusetts.
The Freetown Forest?
Oh, freaked me out, man. I'm telling you, that place... Oh. So, yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on up there. We had John Brightman on last year talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, he was telling us, especially about the that prison up there as well. It's just some real nutty stuff.
Yes, that definitely is. But Aaron is a director of the documentary, the Bridgewater Triangle documentary, the film that they put together that was released in October of this past year that they've been taking around to film festivals. And Aaron, along with his co-director, will be Aaron will be joining us. And Christopher took part in the movie as a consultant and a one of the participants in the documentary. They'll be joining us on May the 11th to talk about the film and the Bridgewater Triangle, the area itself, and some of the strange phenomenon that takes place. It's one of my personal favorite areas to discuss. Many of these places around the country are crazy, but this one really stands out to me. So. Mark your calendars for May 11th as Aaron and Christopher join us to talk about the Bridgewater Triangle. On May 18th, a newcomer to the show, Brian Parsons. He has a PhD. He is from Ohio. He's a paranormal investigator, and he's talking about a book that he's written recently called The Handbook for Amateur Cryptozoologists. And it's going to be an interesting discussion with Brian. He is a member of the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society, joined last spring. And he's also a paranormal investigator, a lecturer. And it's going to be interesting to talk with Brian about his cases that he's investigated. And he has a very skeptical look at the paranormal and cryptozoology, so we'll be able to pick his brain and get some ideas from him what he thinks about those subjects.
Yeah, you know, I'll be interested to see what he has to say. I might throw a few things at him and see what he thinks about it. And I think it's good that we have a certain amount of skepticism in the cryptozoology field. Especially if it's somebody with a little bit of science background, and but you know, that does realize that these things may actually be out there as well. So that ought to be interesting.
Yeah, it should be. May the 25th. Bad news for our fans that like live shows. We are not going to be live on the 25th of May, simply because I'm going to be taking part in the Clearfield Bigfoot Days event. That's going to be taking place on May 24th, 25th, and 26th in Clearfield County, Pennsylvania. And being that I won't be back until the 27th, which is Monday for Memorial Day, I won't be available to do the show live, so we're going to be doing a rebroadcast that evening. So there will be no live show on May 25th. However, we will return on June the 1st, and that's going to be a really cool show because we'll be talking with Matt Swain, who's written a book about haunted rock and roll, which is a look at haunted history of rock and roll bands, some of the curses involved with rock and roll, some ghosts that have come back to haunt either rock and roll musicians or actual spirits of past musicians that have come back. So that's going to be a really interesting discussion with Matt Swain on June the 1st.
Yeah, that should be interesting. You know, there's been a lot of rumors over the years about, you know, about these individuals coming back and, you know, being seen by certain people that you used to associate with. But I'd be interested to see what he has to say about that. I might have to look into that.
Most definitely. Yeah, it should be a fun show that night on June the 1st. June 8th, we welcome Michelle Hamilton. And she's going to be talking about something pretty interesting. Now, we've heard about ghosts in the White House, and probably one of the most infamous ghosts that show up in the White House is Abraham Lincoln. Well, a lot of people don't know that Abraham and Mary Lincoln were very heavily involved in spiritualism. We're going to be talking about Abraham and Mary's involvement in spiritualism. And she's yes, you did. And you'll be joining us for that program as well, Amy, because we're going to be talking to Michelle about a book that she's written about the Lincoln's involvement in spiritualism on June the 8th.
Okay. I will write it in my planner.
There have been a lot of presidents, and especially first ladies, that have been involved with spiritualism and the occult.
Mediumship.
Nancy Reagan is particularly one that was. And there was a book written about that as well. So, you know, I think someone who is put in that situation may very well be turned or brought close to the occult just because of, you know, the situation they're in. So, you know, Mary Todd Lincoln was a, you know, she had a screw loose a little bit later in life. So, but I don't know how how much the occult affected that.
Well, she did try to reach out to her husband after he had passed. So.
Yes, she did. Yeah. Yes, she did. And some say that she knew when he was going to pass away as well. So I don't know. Well, that'll be an interesting show.
Yes. Trying to get through this list pretty quickly here because our next guest radio host is coming up shortly. On June the 15th, this is going to be a very interesting show because, Lon, you and Sean are going to be taking the helm on this one. It's a Malevolent Haunting Help Show, and that's going to be a show designated to help those who have dealt with or are dealing with negative entities that are they're haunting their homes, or they have dealt with or being involved with hauntings. Malevolent hauntings or evil spirits and how they can deal with those. You're going to be offering suggestions, tips, how to get rid of these entities or how they can reach out for help from other people that may, you know, be able to offer tips like that.
Yeah, I'm going to be heavily promoting that show. What we want are people to call in and tell us about what's going on, you know, what they've been experiencing and see if we can help them out.
Yeah, and if you are a listener to the show and you have experienced a malevolent haunting, dealing with a negative entity or a demonic haunting, a demonic spirit, and you've gone through this experience and you have learned how to deal with it and you want to share your experience to help others going through it, this would be the perfect show to call in and share that to help others with that experience.
I like that show idea.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a self-help show or a way to help others that might be dealing with it who don't know where to turn. And then for fans of Amy, she's back again June 22nd. Amy will be back with the paranormal news and all brand new news stories and a full 2 hours of Amy bringing paranormal news only the way she can. Of course, our banter.
What does that mean?
Well, you bring such a pleasant twist to the paranormal news, a positive twist, fun and giggles and puppy dogs and rainbows.
Okay.
Is that better?
That is. Oh, that was touching.
You girl it up.
All right. Good.
Okay. And then lastly, for June 29th, Lon and Butch Wachowski are going to have a special guest on. His name is Ed. And we're going to be talking with Ed about an experience that he's dealing with, MK Ultra or mind control, brainwashing that the government is behind. And it's going to be a very fascinating show, a very interesting show, and a very controversial show. So look forward to that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be controversial. This is a case that I started working on almost a year ago, I guess, and I got Butch involved with it as well, plus some of our other contacts worldwide. And this has to do with an electronic intrusion, mind control on an individual. And it's not pretty, but and it will be controversial.
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be a first of its kind on the show that we've had. And a lot of these new shows that we're bringing you are suggestions and ideas thanks to, you know, the listeners who have written to us and suggested these guests and these topics. So we really appreciate it. If you have a topic, you have a guest suggestion, you have feedback for us, if you like something you've heard, like Amy's news tonight, if you've enjoyed it and you want to hear more of Amy, you want to hear more of her news, let us know. Drop us a line at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. If you hated Amy's news tonight, you can don't write us. We don't want to hear about it. You can send Amy an email directly.
No!
I'm just kidding.
My heart.
I'm just kidding. We love Amy, and we're glad she's part of the show. But if you liked what you heard tonight and you want to hear more of Amy and you want to join the Amy Perry fan club, she doesn't believe there's one, but there is. It's three people and growing. But you can drop us an email at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com with your suggestions, with your comments, your feedback, you know, all that good stuff. We'll be happy to hear from you. So I think that about does it for us. I'm still looking to see if maybe our next radio show host has shown up. I don't see him yet. So maybe we can drag this out a few more minutes. No, I still don't see him.
we can take a membership to my fan club. Let's sign up right now.
There you go.
We can make it four. Let's see if we can make it four.
Go to Facebook and type in Amy Perry. Oh. You'll find her. Make it four. Yeah. And if you're a stalker, then just
no, these people stay are away. Nice, so they won't they find me. Yeah, I was going to say it's the stalkers.
They are. Well, since our guests, our next radio show hasn't showed up yet, just very quickly, I'll run down the upcoming events very quickly for the next couple weeks. We've got the Creature Weekend's coming up May 16th to the 18th, Salt Fork State Park, Cambridge, Ohio. John Mayanzinski, Bill Munns, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, Tim Stover, Doug Waller are the guest speakers. There'll be a meet and greet, private VIP dinner Friday night with the speakers, special presentation by Bill Munns, evidence presentation on Saturday, the guest speakers. There'll be a special evidence collection workshop with Dr. Meldrum on Sunday. Tickets are still available. Rooms are still available at the lodge. Go to creatureweekend.com for more information. Then on May 24th, the Clearfield Bigfoot Days put on by the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Society and Legend Hunters. There'll be 3 days involved in that, May 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. That will be taking place in Clearfield County in western central Pennsylvania. There'll be camping on the 24th, 25th, and 26th, group camping, which there still are some sites available, only $10 per person, for the site. That's all it covers is just the site, no food or nothing else included, just for the site. Friday night there'll be hikes and a Bigfoot nighttime outing. Saturday there'll be lectures by guest speakers Stan Gordon, Fred Saluga, Brian Seach, David Rupert, myself. There'll be the showing of the movie Mountain Devil, The Search for Frank Peterson. There'll be vendor tables, meet and greet, and more. Tickets are available for that event. If you go to mountaindevilthemovie.weebly.com, there's a lot of information there. Or our website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. There's links under our links section. Sunday there will be workshops, including casting, what equipment to take into the field with you, tracking workshops, all kinds of great stuff. And it's open to the public. Very minimal cost, $10 for camping, and I believe it's only $6 to get into the lectures on Saturday. It's called the Clearfield Bigfoot Days. You can reach out to us here at BTE Radio for more information or go to mountaindevilthemovie.weebly.com, and you get all the information there. So that's the upcoming events. And I think our guest host for the next show is not showing up, so we're going to call it a night.
No, I saw it. Jose, is that who we're waiting
for?
Yeah,
we're waiting on him.
Okay, so. Well, yeah, he's supposed to be coming.
Yeah, so I think we're just going to head for home and call it a night. Jose, 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 Jose. I had to do that. But thank you.
We tried, Jose.
We tried. Yes, we did. But thank you, Amy, for a wonderful job tonight. Fantastic work. And,
thank you for believing in me.
Yay. We always do. And thank you, Lon, as always, for coming and staying and putting up with our nonsense.
Yes, Lon.
Shut-eye.
We appreciate it. And thank you to our listeners for sticking around and putting up with our internet outage and for putting up with our wackiness.
Absolutely. They rock.
They do. Our listeners are one of a kind from all around the globe, from Bolivia and England and all around the globe. We appreciate and love each and every one of you. And we thank you for tuning into our program. We're live every Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time here on the Para X Radio Network. And any questions, comments, feedback, suggestions, any criticism, anything at all, you can drop us an email at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Guys, literally, what do you say we call it a night and head for home?
See everyone next week.
See ya. Be good. Take no crap.
There you go. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday night.
Good night.
Join us for another live edition of Beyond the Edge Radio, Sunday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network. Archive shows are available on Podomatic, Parapods, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Para-X Radio Network, or our official website, beyondtheedgeradio.com. To contact Eric, Ron, or Sean, email us at beyondtheedgeradio@gmail.com. Beyond the Edge Radio is a Beyond the Edge entertainment production heard here on the Para-X Radio Network.